I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ben Standing's with us every Monday and Friday. He is our Washington Commanders insider. You can follow him on Twitter at Ben Standing. You should subscribe definitely to The Athletic. It's very inexpensive, and it's totally worth it to read Ben, to read David Aldridge, to read everybody that covers the team and covers the NFL. Ben also has an excellent podcast called Last Man Standing. Let's just start with Emmanuel Forbes, you know, out 4 to 6 weeks. What are you hearing with respect to the severity of the injury? And do you think that maybe this was just kind of a break for the coaches who were going to limit his snaps potentially on Sunday against the Giants anyway?
Oh, I don't know about that necessarily, the latter part. I mean, you know, it ultimately was the first game with this new staff across the board, and needless to say, the defense had a lot of issues, miscommunication, and so on. And I don't think it was all about Forbes, which isn't to say he played well or, you know, anything along those lines. And we're not forgetting last year, but, you know, I don't know if I think that they've like, we're kind of like going to sit him anyway. But that said, I think that, you know, in fact, the beginning of the week, Dan Quinn said that they thought they were in the clear to some degree, but whether it was a pain issue or something happened when he was in the game, or sorry, in practice this week, that led to this to choose surgery now. That's what they did. Maybe that's because they're like, okay, let's get this cleaned up, and we'll give him some more time to work with our staff, at least in some capacity. So I don't know about that, but yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, this was a position that we all knew was arguably the biggest weakness going into the season. And say whatever you want about Forbes, who was one of the five corners they had, and now anybody who's going to be a replacement is going to be, you know, somebody off the practice squad most likely. So it's not going to get necessarily any better out there, but hopefully, you know, Joe Witt's hoping that their communication is better on top of their tackling is better, and that will ultimately lead to a better performance regardless of who's out there.
Who will replace him?
Well, I mean, you know, Mike Davis was the guy who was in all summer was the other outside corner with Forbes and St. Juice primarily, and then this week he doesn't get a single defensive, or last week doesn't get a single defensive snap. I kind of would still think he'd be the guy. Now, no, Ignaga, he was the one who played with like the fourth corner playing a decent amount of snaps, but he's been typically viewed as a slot guy, and I don't know how much they really want to use Mike Sanders still outside too much, so I'm kind of guessing Davis. We're getting Dan Quinn here, honestly, at about 10 minutes or so. So will that presumably that will come up. You know, we'll see if we get a sense from him. But I would guess Davis, just based on the way things looked all summer.
You're talking very lightly. Are you getting ready? You're with everybody else out there right now, or you're in some quiet place, and Quinn's going to talk here. So when you have to go, you have to go. So just say I got to go, and we understand.
Yeah. They rearranged the media room a bit, and We're all in tighter quarters. So the space that I'm in is no different than I was last year, except that the other reporters are sitting like right behind the door, so they could hear everything I'm saying. So we're all a bit more conscious of talking a little bit in some of these rooms.
Will Noah Brown play Sunday?
Well, I would think yes. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury said yesterday that he's been dealing with a bit of an injury, and we know that with Houston, he had a shoulder issue. He didn't play in any of the preseason games. That said, the team, after Kingsbury said that, said, no, there's no injury issue. He hasn't been on the practice. He hasn't been on the injury report. So I'm going to guess the answer is yes, that he would play. You know, the last week it was, okay, he's got to get up to speed. So let's assume that now he's been here for a couple weeks, that that's the case. I would think he would. And not because Noah Brown is, you know, the second coming or like this is the guy who's going to be their big difference maker. I think it's just purely what he brings, something that they don't really have, and that's a big physical receiver. You know, Deombe Brown's been a willing blocker, and he gets credit for that, but Noah Brown weighs 40 pounds more than he does. right? So if you're going to have sort of that guy, why would you not want the bigger guy? Plus, we saw Noah Brown, not consistently, but at least a couple times last year with Houston, have some breakout performances as a on the statistics end from a receiver spot. So I would think him getting in action this week makes a lot of sense. I would imagine it happens, but again, we'll talk to Dan Quinn here in a little bit.
Will Brandon Coleman and Cornelius Lucas platoon again? I mean, it wasn't a true split platoon, but how do you see that playing out at left tackle Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, the platoon part was only because they wanted Coleman to get
right.
some reps. You know, he missed all of preseason. I think once Coleman is the starter, then other than injury or performance, he's going to be in there. So I'll go out on a limb and say he is the starting left tackle this week. I don't know that is based on anything I've seen. You know, we now see very little of practice except for like stretching, so it's hard to gauge on that. But ultimately, you go back to where we were all summer pre-injury. He was trending to be that guy. I think from an upside perspective, it's no question they should want him out there. The Giants obviously have a very talented front line, so it's potentially a tough spot to throw a rookie in. But at the same point, he's much more athletic than Lucas, and if you're going to go up against guys like Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau, you know, that athleticism is probably a key element. So I'll guess that Coleman starts this week, and then once he does, it's just about him showing he's worthy of staying on the field that keeps him out there.
Kingsbury yesterday, and you wrote about it, and I played the soundbite earlier in the show, talked about the call that he, you know, regrets as much as any call, like one of the worst calls of his career. It was a speed option. It was the touchdown run at the end of the game when they were down by 23 points with a minute 13 to go in the game, and he felt like he put Jaden at risk because he didn't give him a check, meaning the opportunity to kind of flip the play away from where the defense was aligned. I'm just curious as to whether or not you feel like I feel, which is, why the hell are they calling running plays designed or option for the quarterback with under 2 minutes to go in a game that they're getting their asses kicked in anyway? And was that a question that maybe came up after the pressers or anything like that?
No, I first of all, I agree with you. Like, whatever dramas out there, people are, you know, annoyed that that Jaden Daniels ran the ball 14 to 16 times. I have less of an issue with that.
Me
and
too.
More of an issue of why are you calling a designed run at the goal line less than 2 minutes to go in a game you're down a ton of points? Yeah, that didn't make any sense. So even if he didn't call the audible, why call for it in the first place? It wasn't asked that directly. I mean, we were just talking about, in general, the running, and he, you know, fell on his sword to a degree, at least, in terms of not giving him the audible. So, at least for the moment, that was sort of the end of that part of the conversation. But, yeah, no, to me, that's the part that was more confusing. And, you know, look, I don't have an issue with them calling runs for Jaden Daniels. I mean, obviously, this is, you know, half the reason why he's – well, not
right.
half, but a good reason,
no,
part of the reason why he's so intriguing is that. But, yeah, there's no point doing this when the game is out of hand.
Oh, I would have been disappointed if he hadn't have been a big part of the running game. I just there's a time and a place, and down 23 with a minute to go is not the time nor the place. All right, so you've been thinking about this matchup on Sunday. Give me your thoughts, and give me, you know, before you give me a prediction, what do they need to do to win?
Yeah, you know, look, we all have made, I'm sure, the jokes this week about, you know, Daniel Jones may look terrible to the rest of the world, but the Washington, you know, where he's viewed here as, you know, MVP Cam Newton or something. He always plays well against Washington, but that was against the other coaching staff, right? Dan Quinn, in the 3 years that he was the Cowboys DC, the Dallas went 4-0 in games that they went against Daniel Jones. They actually swept the Giants all six games in those 3 years. So clearly, from a scheme standpoint, at least, Dallas had a pretty good feel. Of course, they also had Micah Parsons and a better secondary. Yeah. And those are the things that you can't, you can't compare it to. But assuming that, you know, they have a better read on how to deal with Daniel Jones in general, then it's just a matter of, you know, continue to put the pressure on him. You know, Daniel Jones, his numbers against blitzes last week were not particularly good. Neither were Jaden Daniels, but Jaden Daniels was his first game. Daniel Jones has been around, and, you know, because of his injuries that he's had in recent years, you do wonder if there's starting to be a little bit of a David Carr situation for him, or he's getting a little too flinchy in the pocket when big bodies are coming his way. You know, that said, they've got a dominant left tackle out there. They've got an explosive rookie receiver in Malik Nabers, and we know that Washington secondary is obviously a bit in question. And defensively, look, they were a bit of a mess last week against the Vikings, but, you know, Dexter Lawrence, you know, Kingsbury said this, and it's hard to argue that Dexter Lawrence is, you know, probably one of the two or three biggest disruptors among defensive linemen in the league right now, post Aaron Donald. And then you've got, you know, Thibodeau, they big deal for them to take Brian Burns. I think their secondary is beatable in part just because they're young. But, yeah, if they can get, you know, pressure Jaden Daniels, and, you know, look, we still have questions about Washington's offensive line, as we know. So, yeah, I think the Giants' defense worries me more than their offense does. But, you know, don't get caught up in all the drama about how much the Giants think. It's not like we know for sure Washington's much better right now either. And this is, I think for the Giants, this is a much bigger game because they actually are trying to be good this year, right? You've heard me say 100 times, I think Washington's playing for the future. The Giants, you know, they made that trade for Burns. Right, they put themselves out there doing the hard knocks, and we saw them talking about stuff. Like, they're not trying to just, you know, develop. This is the third year for this new regime. So if they go 0-2 to start and one of those games is a division game here, that's huge for them. And now the drama really starts going up there. You bench Daniel Jones, et cetera. So I'm not saying Washington doesn't want to win. I'm just saying that the stakes are a lot higher for the Giants.
Now, if they lose and he plays poorly, Drew Lock's the quarterback next week, I think, in New York. You know, a really good point, by the way, and it was the worst games we've ever seen from Jones or just the Giants in general. When they played Dan Quinn and the Dallas defense last year on opening Sunday Night Football, 40-0, he was sacked 7 times and threw 2 picks on a dreadful night for them. All right, what's your prediction?
Yeah, I think that despite saying that the Giants need this more, I think, you know, again, I think Washington's will look to play a lot better. It's their first game at home with this new group, obviously the first game for Jaden Daniels, and I'm going to say that Quinn brought some of that momentum with him against the Giants. So, you know, I'll go Washington 21-20, something along those lines.
You know, I see what you're doing there.
I think Jaden Daniels will be effective enough on the ground to keep it interesting. And then, you know, I think Washington's defense will play better as well, get after Daniel Jones and cause some problems.
You got that's the perfect inside straight. Washington wins but doesn't cover. All right, I'll talk to you this weekend. Thanks. Get back to it.
All right. See ya.
Ben Standig, everybody. Ben pays attention to the point spreads. Pays attention to the smell test. He just went with, you know, the Giants plus 1.5, but with Washington winning the game. That would be a good outcome for me. I'd take, right now, I would take a 21-20 final. That was an interesting thing. Just Daniel Jones has had a lot of success against Washington, but he's not had a lot of success against Dan Quinn. And in the last game he played last year, that was opening night, 40-0 was the final score. He had no chance in that game against the Cowboys. They also blocked a field goal and returned it for a touchdown as well. And he's really never played well against Dan Quinn in any of the matchups. Hasn't beaten him as you go back through the last few years, and hasn't really played well in those matchups either. So hopefully Dan Quinn's got Daniel Jones's number, you know, between Quinn and Witt Jr. And the defensive staff. Again, I think one of the most important things comes early in the game. You know, the first time the Giants have the football, the first 2 or 3 possessions that the Giants have the football, can Washington get them off the field, make Daniel Jones question whether or not this day is going to go the same way that previous days have gone, like last week. Don't give him any reason. Don't give that Giant offense any reason to believe in Daniel Jones. He is teetering right now, confidence-wise. And one big play early in the game, you know, even if it's like a hitch to Darius Slayton or to Malik Nabers that they take to the house, and it's not even a big-time play by Jones. Like, it's, you know, it's a two-yard hitch, and then there's a broken tackle. You just can't have that against them if you're going to beat them, because for them to win this football game, he actually has to play pretty well. And he's capable of it and has been in the past against this team, but not this head coach as a defensive coordinator. All right, Denton's lock of the week coming up. We'll predict Washington Giants with a footnote, give you guys a chance to weigh in on that as well. When we come back, though, we'll continue with our NFL game-by-game preview. Pretty good card on Sunday here in Week 2. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the Team 980.
I'm John Oran, Pucks sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are free and live on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, Pucks sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.